Good morning and welcome to ARM. Thanks for your company. I'm delighted to have in the studio, by the way, my name is Paul Tolley, if you don't recognise the voice, I'm delighted to have in the studio for our usual monthly chat about matters council and Armidale, the Mayor Sam Copeland. Good morning, Sam.
Morning, Paul. Great to be here.
Now, I guess we've got to start with Christmas, and Armidale has been pretty Christmassy. There's a lot of festive things going on, various events in the mall, in the park, the band rotunda, and I know council has been involved with quite a bit of that.
Yeah, it has. Look, there have been two big Christmas events. There was the one at Armidale's Christmas in the Mall, and then the one up at Gyra the following day on the 1st of December. So Christmas in the Mall, it was huge. I don't know if you stuck your nose in, but
I saw the parking, or the attempts at parking. Vehicles everywhere.
The estimate is there were over 5,000 people there. It was the biggest event that I have seen in Armidale and probably am likely to see. So it stretched over the Central Mall down into East Mall. Hats off to our activation team who planned it all out. One of the great things they did was set the food vendors up on Dangar Street, and that meant that the mall traders or the restaurants and cafes in the mall had one of their best ever nights, and that was terrific. But there was a huge queue for Santa Claus. There was a huge queue to pat the reindeer or have a photo taken with the reindeer. There was little.
You were in there, of course.
I was. Yes, to both. No, I couldn't have stood in that queue for Santa for long enough. It was at least 20 or 50 deep.
And it's important to realise that besides looking after all the infrastructure, road, sewage, everything else, council also does have a role in helping to create and cohese community, doesn't it?
It's probably our central role. I mean, there's a really lazy thing that gets thrown around by those that, you know, sit on the sidelines and they say things like, oh, it's roads, rates and rubbish. Well, that probably is the case for a very, very small county council or very small shire council. But not when you've got a big city. You actually are responsible for so much more. You're in charge of water, etc. You've got to drive amenity, and you've got to keep people engaged. Otherwise, and you've got to make it a wonderful place to live. Otherwise, the population vanishes.
And that's that sense of community as
and
well.
And is the sense of community.
Christmas does that.
Yeah. So we've got probably at the moment four big events in our calendar. And with some minor ones sort of spread between, but Christmas is brilliant, and that's just got bigger and better every year. And I'd say this year's Christmas would have had more than twice what previous years have had in there. We have then Autumn Festival, we have the Big Chill Festival, we have
well, this station Halloween. Just did an OB at the Black Gully Music.
Oh, and so if you put festival. All of those things through.
And the Garden Festival, we did an OB there as well.
You did too. And you know, that was great. So if we've got something engaging and interactive and fun and just puts us on the map once a month, that's a great thing. And so council, that is a responsibility of council. And part of doing that was the Christmas tree, which has been a bit of a flashpoint. I'd say 97% of people have thought it is brilliant, and it is brilliant in the normal sense. I've had a handful of people, you know, say, well, that would have cost too much, and they've been wild.
I've heard that as well.
Yeah, there have been some wild, well, as you know, people make things up, but the reality is it cost $100,000, plus there was $5,000 for an engineer to make sure that it didn't topple over. So, but $100,000 is a lot of money. There's no denying that, but the tree is one that will last us 20 years. So let's call that $5,000 a year. And it's not a bad investment to get that many punters. Now, they didn't all come in because of the tree, but the tree certainly added to it. And then we've got all the lighting throughout the mall that's, you know, still there every night.
In my view, a life without some joy and happiness is really no life at all. And we can quote Abraham Lincoln, can't we, you know? You can please some of the people, some can't please all of the people all of the time, and I guess that's a daily mantra for you and for council.
Look, it is, and I don't want to dismiss those who aren't delighted.
Well, they were quoting the offset against the rate rise, of course.
Yeah, but it actually didn't come from rate rise money.
No. But, and also, as you point, amortise it over
20 years. Mm. It was a decision made quite a while ago, and it actually came out of the prior year budget, so it wasn't a rate rise. I mean, I acknowledge, you know, when you spend money like that, well, you know, could we have saved money and knocked something off? But it's probably it comes to 30 cents per ratepayer per annum.
It's interesting, isn't it, McDonald's? I'm not saying this to be cynical, I'm saying this to be a little witty, but McDonald's know very, very well how to get young people engaged so they become the customers of the future, and the Christmas tree may well do that for council.
that's right. You know, could we have got the same bang for an $80,000? I don't know if there is an $80,000 Christmas tree. What I do know is that the general manager, he's had calls from about six other regional centres, so this has gone beyond our region. People know how big and good the Armidale tree is. So they want to know where they can get one.
And I believe that Armidale also, this is hot off the press, has just got and Dubbo have got big pats on the back.
Yeah, I was forwarded a link today as the sort of the hottest 100 suburbs, and Armidale...
In New South Wales or nationally?
No, that was nationally. Mm-hmm. And I've just had a very quick scan of it, but Armidale is seen as the place to be, and I'll just pull it up. No, I won't. but they cited it as just good amenity. They also, you know, gave council a pat on the back and said because of the focus on growth, diversified income streams, so education, horticulture, agriculture, and renewable energy just make us a really unique mix. So that's on the realestate.com.au. Did an article there. So I think there were three different national agents and assessors that or analysts.
We just have to get better at tourism or promoting Armidale as a tourist destination, don't we?
We do, but I think we also need to have more things to actually do. I think the tourism that worked 50 years ago doesn't work now.
No. And the whole way of engaging with your market has changed.
Yeah, it has. Well. It has. So there's partly getting the message out there, but there's partly opening up what we've got and enhancing what we've got because... Yeah, as I said, what worked 50 years ago doesn't work now.
And I look at the trading in the mall and a lot of other aspects of Armidale, and really there's a finite amount of money that you can draw from the local population, but tourism provides that extra boost for all business.
Yeah, it does. It does.
And if we can grow that, that would be good. I was thinking about tech waste since we last talked,
yes.
And I'm realising we've talked about solar farms and we've talked about wind turbines and all of that, and of course these are out of town. These tend to be in more regional areas or a little out of town anyway. This is a whole new waste stream that's going to be in the future have to be dealt with, isn't it? And I suspect that our current waste tip won't be able to cope with that. I did a bit of research. Some material can be reused and reclaimed. The componentry can be reclaimed, various things. But, of course, it's an expense of doing that. And with tech waste, you generally need a fairly dedicated facility to pull the rare earths and the other things out. I looked at this.
We have. So the waste is going to come from two sources. So during construction, there will be waste that, you know, packaging and the like, and then a decommission will be the other big bubble. There'll be other bits and pieces that come through. It's really important that people understand council is not obliged to take this waste. And so the resolution that was passed at the council meeting last night was just a change to our fees and services that to give the general manager the delegated authority to negotiate with renewable companies about what their waste needs might be, whether or not we'll take it and at what price, because our landfill will end up could be swamped. So it's important to know a couple of things out of this. We're not obliged to take anything. So they have to negotiate with us before they even start construction. If we do grant them permission for some of the waste, and I'm not talking about the e-waste yet, I'll get to that, but let's say the waste that comes from construction, the packaging, et cetera, then we, if we negotiate with them, we'd want a really favourable deal. So something that doesn't shorten the life of our landfill. Yeah, it means we'd need that. Well, that cost needs to be, you know, in excess of opening up a new pit or whatever it is. And there's a lot of hurdles you have to jump through to get to that. When it comes to e-waste, well, this is something that probably won't become real for 20-odd years.
But it's good to get in early and at least be thinking about it, isn't it?
It does. It does.
I'll tell you there's why, also very, Sam, yeah. Because I note, and having spent time in the Territory, a lot of deals are done with mining companies about remediation, which is thinking to the future. And when you get to the future, they strip the assets, go bankrupt, and the government or the council is left to pick up the mess. And I can see a potential parallel here. Maybe not, you say?
No, maybe not. A bit of a parallel. So in terms of, you know, if you're talking about decommissioning, that's the responsibility of the landholder and the and the company.
Landholders, are they aware of this?
I'd say they would be.
All right.
So, you know, council is not going to be responsible for going and mopping up wind turbines. That's the landholders made a decision to host the wind turbines. They've accepted the cash for a 25 or 30 year period. If it's time for decommissioning and they don't have a bond, because the bond will be with the between the landholder and the developer. It's not with the state government, it's not with the council. The landholder needs to be across this. So council is not going to go around mopping up wind farms or solar farms, number one. So that's where the ish is. There's very little first mover advantage in the recycling. So I know that there is a solar panel recycling mob in South Australia, and there are more that are going to come about. There's plenty overseas. I've heard that there's a truck in Germany that you chuck the panel in and it strips it out into, you know, six different all the waste streams. So these things will emerge over time. What we would do at our different facilities is if somebody commercial wanted to come and set up, this is a great opportunity. Make it happen out there. But it's certainly on the horizon. It's in our line of sight, but it's not a let's go and get the solution now, because the real need for that's going to be 20 years hence.
Okay. Now, you and I very often and probably and mostly talk about issues that affect Armidale, affect the town, affect the city. But council did talk about an issue which has implications for landowners outside of the city and for those of us that on occasions drive out of the city, and that's looking at harmonising the legislation and regulation around grids and gates on country roads, because the regulation in Gyra and Armidale are different.
They are. So Gyra has about 80, the old Gyra Shire has about 80 grids on public roads. And the arrangement there was that the landholder owns and is responsible for the grid. And then there's new legislation, or the Roads Act says that they are also responsible for 20 metres either side of the grid. Armidale, it sort of seems to be a bit of a council issue, and there are 205 grids in the old Armidale Shire. So there is a harmonisation, and this is a matter that should have been fixed up 3 years ago, and the can has been kicked down the road. And what was proposed by the council officers at the meeting last night really didn't appeal to the councillors, and that was to go almost 100% the Gyra direction, which was that the landholder is responsible for the for all those grids. And we heard one fellow came in and spoke against what was in the motion. So that was in the Have Your Say. He has 13 grids on his property. And, you know, some are probably in good nick, some probably aren't. But there is a sensible midpoint there that I don't want to... Certainly what I think is a sensible midpoint, and a handful of other councillors think is as well. We will be getting together in January. Come February, we will have formulated an approach that probably sits somewhere between the two. And also bearing in mind various, you know, strengths of the landholders and council. The landholders, I think, don't have the equipment to maintain the road 20 metres either side of the grid. So that was, and if I were a landholder, that's probably what would worry me. Well, I don't have the equipment to do that.
And there are probably regulations around camber and
yeah,
all sorts of things. And you need surveyors.
So liability becomes a big issue. Mm. Fitting a grid, well, you know, that's a backhoe and things like that. Not every landholder has that. So there might be I think there's a sensible midpoint where it's not all the ratepayer and it's not all the landholder. On this, because the grids across public roads, yeah, sure, the landholders get the benefit of it, and then there are different types of grids. Are they grids that are just purely internal, or are they grids that border, they're on the boundary between two landholders? So, there's different things there. So I think there's a sensible midpoint that hasn't fully been explored that is also consistent with the legislation, so that we wouldn't be running foul of legislation.
Has council been accepting submissions from landholders about this?
Yeah, we have. We've accepted a few. We've gone out seeking them. Some of my fellow councillors have actually contacted landholders and had discussions. So we've received a fair bit of feedback. But we also have to balance some of that feedback with legislation and also with the wider ratepayer base and community interest.
And I guess the regulation around road construction, road formation, what constitutes a road, all those sorts of things.
Yes, yeah. So as I said, I think there's a sensible midpoint there. The group that had been looking at it, I don't think really advanced an option and said, hey, this is what we think, but we'll grab hold of that early January and be charged, ready for February.
One of the points we've discussed a couple of times, and I believe there's some movement, Oakey Dam.
Yeah, look, I know we've floated this a bit. We've now been approached by three different groups. We've had some initial discussions with three different groups, and we realise that there is very real interest out there in the wider business world, certainly the renewable energy space, to partner with Armidale Regional Council to do something with Oakey Dam that goes beyond using it just as a water storage. So we will be putting together an expression of interest paper plus relevant documentation to protect everyone's interests, and then we'll be going far and wide. So I think we'll field a lot. That could be quite exciting, because it would mean that, as well as having the water storage, council could very well have some involvement and a financial interest in electricity generation. So we always suspected that this would happen, because we were the successful bidder. We knew there were a number of underbidders. So we're not surprised.
And also, as going back to our tourism thought, as a destination point for picnics and recreation?
Maybe. I'm not so sure about how open that could be, particularly if it becomes a live hydro site. But certainly, I think in terms of picnic and tourism, Malpas Dam is ripe for it. Actually, whilst I'm on here...
Jumeric, of course, has been upgraded.
Mm. Jumeric is upgraded. I need to say something now, because I had on this one, I said it would be open this Saturday. It's probably going to be Tuesday or Wednesday. Right. So there has been a delay just getting the jetty up, but Tuesday or Wednesday, and we'll be blasting that out, I think, this afternoon once we've got the hard date. And Jimmerik will be open. So that's the soft opening of Jimmerik. Dam, the playground won't be finished. That'll be fenced off. The contractors, when they come back in the new year, they can work within that fencing, finish the playground. So everything's been delivered. There was a hold-up, I think it was DP World was the port, that a lot of this stuff was sitting on and couldn't get out because it was hacked. So
I
there we go.
I remember it. The LSPS is going to go on public exhibition.
Yeah, yeah. So that was probably one of the bigger things. So the local strategic planning statement, which has been about 12 to 18 months in the making, and it's a 20-year vision of where our region is heading and, more importantly, a roadmap to get there. And every council is required to have an LSPS,
yep.
And they range from the, you know, fairly mild to the bold, ambitious and realistic. And I think we're now at, we had a fairly mild, we are charging ahead. And I think this is why I just, you know, you referenced the rap that we got in the realestate.com.au article there. This is the bold ambitious, and it's been really well thought out. We've had the former chief planner of New South Wales involved, his particular group, just to chart how we're going to end up where we want to. So how will we go from our current 30,000 people to 40,000 to 50,000? In fact, the document is called Toward 50,000. And we'll...
You know that's going to scare some people, don't you?
Yeah, yeah, I do. That's fine. Yes, it will, but it's about survival. We have to grow to... otherwise, we'll go broke. We'll go backwards.
But that's always been, over many years, the big tension in council, hasn't it? One of the big tensions?
I think it's certainly been a tension in council, but I think... as a result, they didn't know which path they wanted to take. Therefore, any road would do.
Right.
So we need to get state government to sign off on that LSPS, the different departments to sign off on it, and if/when they do, that's when we're off to the races. If, you know, if the state government say, yes, that Armidale Regional Council, your LSPS, we think is legit, it's doable, that puts us in the winner category. That'll see us get government money, and when where government money goes, private money follows.
So what about talking about, and I guess it sits in this to a degree, any upgrades or updated news on the rail trail?
The process is still ticking along. So I suspect construction on the rail trail will commence mid to late 2024. That's where the discussions, as far as I'm aware, with Transport for New South Wales are at, given the funding that we've received to date. And Glen Innes is mostly fully funded. I think they've got about 80% of what is required, and I understand that the rest is about to follow. So
watch this space.
Well, it is a watch this space. Securing the leases on the corridor, it's not an easy thing to do. So that process is gone through. There was some legislative change 12 months ago under the old coalition state government, and then more legislation needed to, I guess, be approved, passed, etc., with the current Labor one, and that came into effect, I'm thinking, mid-September.
Okay.
So and really until mid-September, securing a lease on the corridor really wasn't... Nothing was going to happen until that legislation went through. And so there's a general regulation which, allows the repurposing of rail corridors. That's doable. Now there needs to be a specific regulation made in relation to the... the Armidale to Glen Innes section.
Because without security over the land, you can't really do anything.
No. Well, you need a lease. So it's a lease. So the lease boundaries have been sorted out now as to what lease would be, would council take on.
And will this, in a sense, to please both sides of the argument, will it be a rail trail also with the potential for reintroducing rail transport if that should be possible in the future.
That's the key part of the legislation that I think some people conveniently forget. The ownership of the corridor remains with Transport for New South Wales. So if they want to put the, if they want to,
they can go there.
They can go there. We haven't seen the draft lease yet. That will probably come through shortly. And yes, if they want to go back to trains, they can do that at whim.
Just
which
up
is
the,
fair.
Just up the road from here is the gymnastics centre, and from here, I mean the station.
Yep.
It's been a great success. It's brought a lot of events and visitors to Armidale. And when I've mentioned this to you once before, when I walk down in the creek area where the swing pool is, the bridge is sad and sorry. The creek's full of weeds. That whole area could, in my mind anyway, I've often thought it's in a great position, could well be upgraded or could be a much better amenity for the people of Armidale. Do you have any comments on that?
I do. Look, there's two things that I think I know where you're headed with this one. One is the Creekland Master Plan's been done and there's some hold-ups with that. But in terms of the Aquatic Centre, we'll probably see an announcement tomorrow come out about some funding, a significant chunk of funding to come in and do a proper master plan of our Aquatic Centre. And I think it's about $400,000, which means that a lot of money can be spent to properly master plan. So what could not just the Moncton Aquatic Centre look like, and you know, included in that could be hydrotherapy pools, making it a bit more of a country club style place, that you know, the options are endless.
A cafe
and can we also go across into Rugby League Park and down into Harris Park? So what can we do if this announcement that I'm tipping will be tomorrow comes to, then good things could happen. So we need to have that planning in place so we don't have a repeat of the situation a few years ago where council had to hand the $4 million back that they'd received for a hydrotherapy pool because it really wasn't planned for properly and they couldn't make a co-contribution and all of these problems. So we'd properly plan it out, we'd be able to properly cost everything so that when money comes through, we're good to go.
And it does have to involve that Creekland area there, doesn't it?
It does. Look, you'd be silly to turn your back on it. It can be quite a pretty area.
And I know when you go to the big cities, and bigger than Armidale, there really has been over probably the last two decades a move to create sporting precincts, and you just pointed to the fact that the rugby grounds are over, rugby league grounds over the road there, that there is the potential, I guess, either in a very concentrated or looser way, to have a bit of a sporting precinct in that area, serviced by cafes and whatever else you have there.
Oh, absolutely. You see them, in the bigger cities. Melbourne's done it brilliantly.
Yeah. Sydney's trying.
Sydney's trying. there are some smaller towns. I think it's Harden. They've done a great thing where out of town, they've built this great big clubhouse in a pentagon shape, and off each side of the pentagon, they'll have the hockey fields, the soccer fields, the netball fields, the rugby fields, what have you, so that families can turn up, and the clubhouse, the pentagon clubhouse, services everyone. Your kids can run around and play all the different sports. You're not toing and froing. We're probably gone a bit beyond that. We will be stretched out, but the Creekland area I see has certainly from that rugby league ground heading to Harris Park and Roller Gas, to really smarten that up. You know, I'd like to see something a bit like the Stall Gift or something hosted here with an amphitheatre. Anyway, I reckon there's great opportunity, but we'll see what some master plan
is. And one of the benefits of creating the precinct, because not all sports are operating at the same time, you're not duplicating parking. You're actually being much more efficient, aren't you, with the way you provide resources?
Yes.
And service the sports and service the players, participants, visitors, families, all of those people.
Yep, that's right. That's right. There's a lot can be done. So hopefully this announcement that I'm announcing now actually does happen, and it'll be good.
Now, I want to thank you very much for the chats we've had over the year. I think we've covered a lot of ground, some comfortable, some uncomfortable, but we have addressed a lot of the issues around Armidale. Have you got any comments on what we might expect next year?
Oh, look, I think there's a fair bit on. Firstly, I think we'll end up doing what we really has set out to do, and that is these past 2 years have been about getting the base right. So getting us financially sorted out and getting our strategic planning and other things set up. So the LSPS is part of it. The housing mm-hmm. strategy that'll come out is another key bit. So we're now on a solid platform to launch. Following on, just picking up from that expression of interest around Oaky, I think we can see similar ones happening with protected horticulture. And so I can see we next year we'll have delegations that I'll be part of to go out and look to drag businesses and industries to headquarter themselves here or set themselves up here. And we've got a lot of precedent, and it's not just, horticulture, but, some professional services organisations are headquartered in Armidale and spread throughout, construction, et cetera, et cetera. So
does this mean veterinary services is probably going to stay?
Oh, who knows? Who knows? I heard Murray Watt on the radio yesterday in my ears. I know his voice now, but no, he wasn't talking about it. There'll be those delegations to drag things back in, because we can now, with confidence, market ourselves as a great place to be based. 2 years ago, we couldn't do that. We were a rabble. We didn't have the strategic planning in place. We didn't have our finances sorted out. So we'll be doing that sort of thing.
That plan really is base, isn't it? That is very, very critical. Yeah. And along with the production of the plan by council is also, it's also very important, of course, to allow, and I know there's legislation about this, but it's the way it's done and whether people feel welcome. It's very important to get feedback from the current citizens of Armidale, because council doesn't know everything, and to bring them with you and to make them feel part of and perhaps even excited about this process.
That's right. And again, there might be a little bit of you can't please everyone to it, but with this LSPS, it'll go on public exhibition after Christmas for a period of 42 days. So we really encourage people to have a look at it. It is the direction of where we want to go. Put your thoughts in, and then as a group of councillors, we will be going through that feedback. We'll be refining it, and then that's the document that then goes to state government. Other things that I think we can see in...
Before you go there, I was just going to say, because I hear people say, the road's terrible in my street or the footpaths in my street, and council's doing a big picture, but people on the ground are looking at what's happening where they live, aren't they?
Yeah, and look...
Sorry to interrupt, but that's
all right. And we do need to... we do need to be on top of that, because that is the role of council to fix the roads, etc. Although I'd note that we filled 10,000 potholes this calendar year.
Who's counting?
I don't know, someone is, but that's what came out. It was a pretty exact sort of a number, like 10,462. Yes, we need to do that, but that's also what the special rate variation is about as well. So the first 2 years of that, as we build up, was all that money is to go back into repairing and bringing assets up to scratch. So we will see a lot more of that. There's even talk about having some little core flutes, a bit like state governments do, when they're building a bridge, this bridge is funded by. We're thinking of, this road is being repaired with that SRV money. So we will see that happening, the roads and the footpaths being improved in 2024, because we've got the money there to do it, and we should be lining up the contractors where the contractors are needed, and employing the staff where the staff are needed to do it. We'll see a lot more development out at the airport, the Airside mm-hmm. Business Park. So our stage one, there's a
that
lot of action happening
there.
It
seemed to stall for a while, didn't it?
Not Well, yes, I guess visually, if your assessment of stalling was driving past.
That's my assessment. You're right.
Yeah. So whilst the blocks were sold, it's then on to the owner of the blocks to do the development. So whether they hadn't, you know, finished their architectural plans, or they were having trouble getting, you know, because contractors and builders were hard to come by, but now everything's popping out of the ground there. So that means we need to quickly move to stage two, which are probably depending on what you want, but they're a different style of block that will open onto the airport. I also think there's huge opportunity to do something, you know, on the other side of, have the civil aviation on the other side where the grass strips are and sheds and hangars and the like there.
Sorry, so to take you back, you were talking about next year, what we can expect. Because we've kind of wrapped this year, I think.
Yeah, we kind of have, and we're probably some of the things that we'll see next year we've covered in this conversation. So I think we will see more things popping up at the airport. There will be, you know, trade delegations going out to drag people in. We'll see, I envisage, construction on the rail trail mid to late next year, based on where things are at and what we've been told by transport the timings are for things to progress through. And I'm not sure what else. It's going to be a fun year.
Water will, of course, be critical, and we've talked about that
before. Yeah, well, the all of that water stuff that we've spoken about, you know, the public works reports will be back by then, so we'll be out, I guess, looking for contractors to tender, and away we go.
Let's finish with a positive one. I hear that I was told that the International Volunteer Day luncheon last Wednesday went very, very well. I believe various councillors, Todd Redmond, Deborah O'Brien, Dorothy Robinson were there. Jane Davies, one of your staff, did a very good job. So pat on the back for
yeah, absolutely. One. Look, Jane's a very enthusiastic. She's the coordinator of the volunteers here, so I couldn't make that lunch. But she does it.
I couldn't either, and I'm a volunteer here.
Yeah. Look, it's good. I'd never really turn my mind to, well, you know, volunteers, I think, really got a great name with the Sydney Olympics. I was living in Sydney at the time, and if it weren't for the volunteers, that place wouldn't have, the Olympics wouldn't have hummed in the same way that they do. So, and then in this role, in my role as mayor on council and being involved with a number of the volunteer lunches and award ceremonies, etc., you realise just how much good people, you know.
It brings us back to where we started, doesn't it, that sense of community.
Yeah.
And if you have volunteers and a good volunteer base in a place like Armidale, that's very much your sense of community,
well,
isn't it?
That is exactly right. And I also think if you have a lot of volunteers and you have people with a sense of community, that becomes quite noticeable. So I had we might have touched on this. A fellow wrote to me the other day, and as often they do, this was about the scooters. And, he wrote in a fairly high-handed manner. So I thought I'd ring him rather than respond. And he said, okay, what do I do when a scooter's parked? Is across the footpath. I said, pick it up, move it. He said, but it's not my responsibility. And I said, no, it's not. But this comes down to mindset. So you're either community-minded or you're not. He said, but they're heavy. And I said, well, you sound younger than I am. And I can pick up a scooter and I can move it. So I'm not having this sort of thing. So I reckon communities that have a lot of volunteers in them and a vibrant volunteer base, and one where the volunteers actually get recognised, is important. And that leads to a more harmonious community and people being community-minded. But if you've got one where people don't volunteer and they've got a really strong sense of entitlement, that's not a fun community to be in.
So it's a two-way street,
isn't it? It is a two-way street.
Thank you very much for coming and talking with me during the year, Sam, and of course to the listeners of 2ARM, because I get feedback about the fact that we have these conversations. I'm very grateful you give us some time, and hopefully we can continue doing it next year.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it, Paul. I've really enjoyed our free-flowing and wide-ranging discussions.
We do, don't we? Yeah. And I have to say, of course, Merry Christmas to you and to your family.
Yeah. Thanks, Paul. You too.
Thanks very much.